Welcome back. You're listening to WFPL's Here and Now. I'm Jonathan Bastian. Good afternoon. Dr. Monica Weiss is a member of the SIF and Emerita Professor of English at Nazareth College in Rochester, New York. As part of the May 13 through 18 Festival of Faiths called Sacred Earth, Sacred Self, Weiss will talk about the environmental vision of Thomas Merton, which is also the title of her book. Weiss describes Merton's early years in France and how his love for the wilderness influenced his time as a monk at Gethsemane Monastery in Kentucky. Let's take a listen.
I think it's very subtle the way Thomas Merton was interested in the environment. I don't think he started out with that as, let's say, a philosophical position, but it was something that was very much part of his life because he had parents who were both painters, and his earth in France. He would be, as a baby, he'd be put outside watching his dad, Owen, painting. And one of his first words, according to what his mom wrote in his baby book, was the word color. And he used that to refer to landscape and to his dad's painting. So I think we had a precocious child and some very sensitive parents who were exposing Merton to lots of the things around him. So he was very aware as a child.
At what point did his love for the environment begin to resonate on a spiritual level?
Well, after he entered the monastery, there's an interesting quote in his journals, seven volumes of which I've taken time to read to find all the nature quotes. But about 4 or 5 years after he's in the monastery, one evening he is looking out the kitchen door at the way the sunlight is coming down on the landscape there. And he describes it in beautiful words. And then he says something about the landscape. I have no scruples about loving it. That's pretty intense, and that's pretty significant, because he, as you and I, are part of this Western dualistic philosophy that thinks that matter is bad and spirit is good. And this is probably one of the first times that he is publicly, in as much as his journals are public documents, saying that nature is a vehicle for prayer, and that it is a spiritual support to him. So that's a really significant moment for me as I look at his life.
Do you think Thomas Merton differs from other great Christian spiritual writers in terms of the way that he understood the environment and saw a connection to a spiritual dimension?
I think he's not unique. He fits along the line of Henry David Thoreau. He fits along certainly with Wendell Berry, one of our own Kentuckians. There are many poets and writers who have seen the spiritual in nature. They've been touched by it, and they're willing to articulate how nature actually touches them, how it fosters their prayer, how it nurtures their development as a person.
Did Thomas Merton ever say anything about environmental preservation?
Yes, but not the words of environmental preservation. In the last 6 months of his life, he read a book and had to review it for the Catholic Worker and also for the Century magazine, which was published out of a think tank in California. And the book was Roderick Nash's Wilderness and the American Mind. Mm-hmm. And Roderick Nash's book is actually a kind of review of American view of nature from the Puritans, who thought that nature and landscape was bad and it was evil and the wilderness was something that had to be subdued, moving along to people like John Muir, who felt that the environment needed to be preserved, and people like Teddy Roosevelt, whom Muir had some conversation with, who felt that the environment needed to be used and therefore conserved. And there's a difference between conservation and preservation. But Merton was seeing that, as he was reviewing this book, that he came to Aldo Leopold and his notion of an ecological conscience, which is seeing landscape and land as having a value beyond just utility. And Merton asked the question at the end of this book review, can Leopold's ecological conscience be part of America? Can we respond to this? So that was a turning point for him to see that social justice for the indigenous people, for racial integration, for nuclear proliferation as dangerous, technology as having dangerous angles, all of those social justice issues that Merton was invited and interested in, he began to see that it's really also planetary justice, mm-hmm. Eco-justice. So his notion on ecological conscience was something he latched onto. Now, this was in summer of 68, and he died in December of 68. So it has always been my position that had he lived longer, I think we would have seen a significant ecological treatise from him about how our commitment as human beings needed also to be a commitment to eco-justice.
That's exactly what I was wondering. Was let's say he was still alive, and
yeah.
in those decades that have passed, the environmental movement has really gathered steam, and we know a lot more now in terms of what's happening, global warming, just to name one. But do you think he would have been outspoken? Do you think he would have actually taken this cause up and maybe pursued it as maybe an activist would have?
I think he would. And in fact, we have some evidence of that when Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, came out in 1962. It came out in the installments in the New Yorker magazine in the spring of 62, and then it was finally published as a book in the fall of 62 by Houghton Mifflin. By January of 63, Merton had gotten a copy of the book, had read it, and sent Rachel Carson a letter, not just complimenting her on a good book, but saying that he thought she had put her finger on something very important and had even diagnosed the ills of civilization. It's a rather fascinating letter. And so I think that's maybe another conversion moment in Merton's life. So let's say that's happening at the turn of 62-63, and in 68 he's talking about an ecological conscience. There's definitely some maturing and development there. And so I agree with you. Had he lived, I think he would be in the forefront of making ecological statements and challenging us to be living in right relationship with all of the creatures on the planet.
It was my conversation with Dr. Monica Weiss. We were discussing her book, The Environmental Vision of Thomas Merton. During the Festival of Faiths, Weiss will present Restoring Health and Well-Being, Models of Inspiration. That's on Thursday, May 15th from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Actors Theater of Louisville. More information available at festivaloffaiths.org. I'm Jonathan Bastian. You're listening to Here and Now.